Hello and welcome back to Brunel Questions. My name is Ben Moxie, and this week we're talking to the former Mayor of London, Ken Livingstone, on his visit to Uxbridge on the 16th of May this year. Among the things we'll be talking about are his candidacy to run for London Mayor again as Labour candidate, and how Boris is running the city, a topic that he's quite honest about. All that coming up in the next 15 minutes. Thank you, enjoy. Okay, so Ken Livingstone, wonderful for you to join us. You're running for Mayor of London again, having lost to Boris in 2008. Why are you back in the race? I mean, what was the 2008 election? Did you think you took a message from that, or do you feel that you need to come back and tell London again?
Well, no, it's quite simple now. People can compare my record in office with Johnson's, and whereas we initiated a load of good projects like Crossrail, a whole range of things that he's carried on opening, he isn't initiating anything. In a city like London, needs constant investment. We've also want to drive up the issue of housing. We need to be building tens of thousands of homes in London a year for rent and affordable ones that people can buy, because we're basically heading towards a huge housing crisis. The sort of housing that currently is available is out the range of most people's pockets.
Yes.
And then here in this area, you've got the devastation that High Speed 2 rail is going to bring to the area. And I'm campaigning to say we should keep the High Speed 2 going on the existing tracks into Euston, going underground, coming out in Waterloo, so you don't have this vast devastation and huge expense of building a loop to Heathrow, when people can get off the train off the plane at Heathrow, get on Crossrail Run, and 25 minutes later change onto trains going to the north at Tottenham Court Road.
Students make up a large population of Hillingdon. Very few actually turn out to vote. What would you say is the number one cause for them to come and vote for you at the ballots?
Val, who's running as my deputy, Val Shawcross, and I've been going, it's about the ninth borough we visited, and we always make a point of going to a college in each borough. We've been amazed at the numbers of students turning out, because they see their life now being much, much more difficult. Education maintenance allowances have stopped, they're facing fees of the best part of £30,000 that they'll have to find. And so they come out and the job opportunities are negligible. I mean, I left school with just four GCSEs, now GCSEs. I got a job as a technician in hospital. Now you need to be a graduate to get that. So there's been real pressure on young people, and we've got to make certain we've got apprenticeships and work placement schemes, and Val and I are making absolutely clear that we want to see that in the police and in Transport for London. And out here in this immediate area, our candidate is Onker, who's standing against Richard Barnes, who's been pretty much of a do-nothing assembly member rather than really driving forward those issues.
Moving on to when you were in office. In 2000, you weren't in the Labour Party and you ran and won as London Mayor, but then decided to rejoin the party when it came to the 2004 election. What was the decision there to go back? And did you feel a sense of victory in doing that?
The Prime Minister came to me in 2003 and said, would you come back and be our candidate? And I knew in that instant I would get lots of money out of them, because inviting me to come back,
yes,
I had to succeed. And we got the funding for Crossrail, massive increase in police numbers. The London School of Economics calculates we got £39 billion in my 8 years as mayor, additional funding for London, and it's gone into big things like investment. You'll soon have the North London Line upgrade finished. It joins the East London Line, and then you eventually get a new circular rail route running through central London. It's just tragic that the current mayor hasn't actually started looking at getting better links between suburban areas, because if you want to get from Uxbridge just up to Harefield, or from Uxbridge down to Hillingdon, the routes aren't very good. We need to think in terms of circular routes around the London suburbs to link up. People should be able to get really all the way round to Waltham Forest going in a loop that follows roughly the North Circular.
But you would agree that you didn't see eye to eye with Mr. Blair at all times, for example with the PPP deal, Metronet.
Massive disagreements with Tony Blair, and if anything, I suppose with all that's come out since, I've got more that I disagree with. I mean, I always assumed he was a restraining influence on George Bush. I have to say, the only specific thing he restrained George Bush from doing, from what we now know, was bombing Al Jazeera TV. I mean, and he talked him out of doing that.
Okay, also looking back on your time as mayor, can you describe the events of the 7th of July 2005? I mean, where were you when you heard?
And well, I was in Singapore during the bombings because it was the day after we'd won the right to host the Olympics. But we'd known from even as I watched the Twin Towers collapsing on television, you just knew that there was a real risk this could come to London. And we spent the 4 years between those two events preparing vast numbers of meetings with the security services, the fire authority, police, ambulance, in every aspect of trying to anticipate how the attack would be. We knew it would come, just didn't know when, we didn't know what form it would take. And if you actually look at the recent inquiry into that, there's very, very minor recommendations they're making. I think broadly we got the response right. And one of the things I'm proudest of is the way London stood together, not being divided, which is what Osama bin Laden wanted to do.
And finally, before we finish, just here, obviously you said before that was the Olympic announcement, it's an amazing day for London. Were you always confident we would beat Paris? How were you feeling on that very day when it got announced?
We picked up about a year before at the Athens Olympics. And there's a point where I realised that we could win. Until then, it had been a very long shot. And so our strategy for that year was not to let the French know that we had a chance of winning, and so they didn't redouble their efforts. And even on the night before the vote, the deputy leader of the French team, Paris team, said to me in the bar, well, when Madrid goes out, we'll get 2/3 of their vote. And we'd known for months it was going to be 50-50. And so we just did that work, but the only people we told that it was really close were Sebco and myself told Tony Blair, and that's really about it. We didn't want everyone wandering around alerting the French.
Okay, then. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we left last time, we were talking about the Olympics. One thing I wanted to mention was in 2008, at the end of the Beijing Games, Boris Johnson went up and collected the flame and sort of represented London. Was that a hard point for you to watch that on the TV, Boris getting recognised as the Mayor of London for the 2012 Games, even though you were the man who'd actually won it?
Oh, not at all, because I just watched this sort of slob performance as he shuffled out with his hands in his pockets, his jacket unbuttoned, slouching whilst the Mayor of Beijing strode ramrod rigid right beside him. Then watched him fail to shake hands with the Mayor of Beijing as they passed over the flag, and forgetting to bow to the President in the sort of box for presidents and members of royal families from around the world. I remember thinking I could have done better than that. And as well as mortally offending the Chinese, a lot of older people in Britain were pretty appalled by that performance. So, no, I went to the opening of the Beijing Games because Boris wouldn't go, and so the Mayor of Beijing invited me out in his place. I enjoyed it immensely. It was an amazing spectacle.
Okay, we're coming up to the actual of the election this time round. Many commentators are saying this is Ken versus Boris part two, but also there are some number of parties like the Greens who have made a lot of national strides recently, and Jenny Jones, of course, was your deputy mayor. Are you wary of them, considering how much gains they've made nationally?
No, because if you actually look, whereas nationally Labour and Tory have got about 70% of the vote between them, the last two polls have had me and Boris on 88 or 90% of the vote between us. And I mean, everyone's gotten up in that. I mean, everyone either hates or loathes Boris, hates or loathes me. The middle ground is squeezed in this election in a way we haven't seen since the 1950s.
Okay, why do you think people call Boris stupid?
Well, I mean, he isn't stupid, incredibly clever. But he's spent his life developing this persona of, the bumbling Bertie Wooster figure. Oops, cripes, I appear to have fallen on your wife, I'm sorry, and everyone laughs, and he's got away with murder, so don't think he's stupid.
No.
He's gone through life indulging whatever he wants to do. Cameron and Osborne hate him, of course, because he upstages them all the time, and he gets away with it, so don't say he's foolish. He's developed a technique here that's allowed him to get away with murder.
And the Lib Dems are yet to choose their candidate. They're not going to announce until sometime in October, but it's widely rumoured to be Lembit Opic. Is there a worry that the London mayoral seat was now going to come the Have I Got News For You candidate? Of course, you've been on it, Boris, famously, and Lembit also after his election loss in 2010.
Well, there's also the option that the Lib Dems may refuse to stand a candidate and endorse Boris instead. because the government is passing an amendment to the electoral law that allows two parties to support one mayoral candidate. It's very odd to think of any other reason they should be doing that. We know the Liberal leadership doesn't want Lembeke open, because Lembeke will be asked, who will be your second preference? And he certainly won't be saying Boris, whereas I think what, you know, Clegg wants is someone who will come out for Boris.
One thing I was going to say, obviously the success of the, I think they're now termed the Boris bikes across London, would you launch your own form of transport, say the Ken Catapult or Livingston Luge? Or
They were the bike, I set out to create the bike scheme in July 2007. The only change Boris made, I'd just gone to Paris, I saw this scheme works, and I came back and saw TfL and told them to, you know, import the same scheme. Boris imported, created a slightly different scheme, which instead of buying Paris's scheme where they worked all the glitches,
yes,
meant that each of those bikes and docking frames cost the taxpayer £16,000. I think the bike shop saw Boris coming.
Just a few, last few questions. Your career hasn't been without controversy, so I have to sort of mention.
Probably not.
No, several remarks have been made that have been criticised in the media. For example, Oliver Feingold. Would you regret what seems to be just a poor joke? And do you think maybe the media overreacted to it?
Oh, well, media certainly overreacted to it. It wasn't intended as a joke. It was intended to be offensive because he was pursuing me down the street at 9 o'clock at night. Hello?
Finally, your vision for the future. Should you get elected in 2012, what's the biggest ambition you would have for the next 4 years?
Well, there's endless projects that, you know, transport, building, housing, all that. But it's to recognise that there's going to be no great economic dynamism coming out of Europe or America in the next generation. If we're to give real opportunities to young people in this city, we've got to attract the growing firms of China and India and Brazil and Mexico and Indonesia to see London as the place to do business in Europe. And therefore, building on that, London as the most attractive city in Europe, both in terms of the very personal and relaxed way people are, the very great tolerance, but also the fact that we're the most economically competitive city in Europe. And so, you know, making London the focus for that emerging world economy guarantees the future for 100 years.
Okay, thank you very much.
Cheers.